With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we are talking again now with Colin McQueen, the Amesbury High School football coach. Colin, welcome back to MSO, and congratulations on what looks like a very competitive game that you guys had last weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Rick.
Well, you know, the write-up by Kyle Gaudette is something. It's very articulate, and it expresses all the plays and the statistics and so on. But one of the things, that I see the word adversity in there quoted. You guys won by a good score, but tell me about the ebb and flow of the game, Colin, and how you felt this thing was going as a coach. Because, you know, we're pulling up on the halfway mark of the season, and I know that you want to make sure that some things get ironed out and continue to stay ironed out.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, part of the privilege we have of being in the Cape Ann League is knowing that we're going to have competitive games week in and week out. And when you play against good coaches and good programs and good players, it gets you ready for playoff time. You know, and we see ourselves as a playoff team always, and we want to compete week in and week out and win more games than we lose. But, you know, that game against Pentucket on Friday night, they're a tough physical team, and it was one of those games that you really got to dig down deep. Some things didn't really go our way early, and they were able to possess the ball quite a bit in the first quarter. We only ran three offensive plays in the first quarter. And one of our star players goes down with a broken wrist, and he knew it right away. He ran off the field telling me it was broken, and he was right. So to see Max go down like that, to lose him, have some other guys have to step up, it checks your character as a team and your toughness. And we had some guys that could have gone either way. You know, when you see a star go down like that, it's deflating. We've already had to deal with it once this year in week one with Shal going down. But we had some guys step up in a serious way. And whether it was Nico or DJ DiCarlo or, you know, any number of other guys, Jamie Gray had to step in there as the next guy in the offensive backfield. And then defensively, we get Sebastian Ayotte, sophomore, filling in. Joe Celia's already been starting for us with Shal going down. But, you know, going down the list of defensive backs, we got different guys in there and different guys carrying the rock, and they stepped up in a serious way. And then, as it always has been, it's our O-line just being incredibly tough, you know, being big, strong, and tough, and saying, hey, follow us, we got you. And that leadership really, really shined through in one of those nights that early on, first quarter especially, it didn't feel good, right? Like, things didn't feel right. It felt a little bit off, and some things weren't going our way, and they ended up going up early by 7. On a tough fourth down play, they run a toss pass and beat us, you know, going in from inside the 10. And then we ended up giving it back to them on a turnover, you know. So it was one of those games that, like, could have gotten away from us, but we battled defensively, got it back, drove the length of the field at the end of the first half and scored and converted the two as we've done all year. And we ended up handling business, you know, carried the lead into the half. And then did what we did in the second half and kind of stretched it out.
Colin, some teams at this point in the season have a better conditioned players, you know, if not bigger, but maybe better conditioning. And I'm just wondering, with your guys, you mentioned Will Arsenault and Aiden Donovan last week, and it looks like they did their usual job up front this week. Is that conditioning part of the success of you guys so far?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, those guys... All of our guys, I mean, they're athletes first, and they're well-conditioned athletes. They've put time in through the winter last year, through the spring, through the summer, and not only are they preparing for football in the weight room and on the field and doing their running, because they value that tremendously, they're also multi-sport athletes. So they're competing year-round, and I think that's vitally important in the society we live in now. It's way too sedentary, you know, and if kids are only practicing for their hour and a half workout every day, they're still not moving enough to be in condition well enough to compete for a full 48 plus. So we get guys that are active dudes. They're up and moving around. They understand what they have to do in terms of, you know, eating and lifting and doing the things that are football specific. But for the most part, like, we got just good athletes that like playing. They like moving around. They like physical contact, and when you get that, it's fun to coach those guys. But they're certainly well conditioned, and that shows up in the second halves of games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to mention in fourth quarters, and especially if you have a running game, you can really wear down the other team. And I want to ask you about the pace of the game, Colin, because watching a high school team that throws the ball a lot is not the same as watching a team that passes at higher levels. And the games I've seen where a team passes a lot, there's a lot of incompletions, and it really slows the pace of the game down. Does that affect a team when you're on defense against an offense that you know, that just passes all the time?
Yeah, I mean, people say that, like, people who spread it out and throw the ball, it's more exciting to watch. And, you know, we even had a guy last week on the live stream commenting on how boring our game was.
Oh, God, really?
Jeez. But, you know, and I think those are just uninformed fans.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what you're looking at, if you watch a team that throws the ball only – I mean, we only threw it once on Friday night. We called three pass plays, but twice Justin Duby he's a great decision maker. He was able to tuck the ball and make big plays on his feet. And that's just the read. That's the way the read shook out. And he's a good football player with a great mind. And but to some people who were the uninformed viewer, you know, you watch that and be like, well, this is boring. They keep calling the same play again and again and again, but it's not really the same play. And there are intricacies to what we do and how we block things, and adjustments that are being made by our players on the field, you know, in real time, that I think people who don't know what they're looking at can't really understand. And that's what allows us to be successful. And then the other thing is, I mean, if you look at statistics and what the points we put up, you know, we scored 40 against a very good North Reading team, and we scored 32 in each of the following games. We put points on the board. We've been a team that week in, week out is putting up around 35 a game, and that generally gives you a fighting chance if you can play any semblance of defense. And when we play good defense, we're really in control of games. So, you know, I think it's the offense is doing what it should do, and that's move the ball, get first downs, and then ultimately finish drives and convert. We're still at 100% on, you know, knock on wood, on two-point conversions through 13 touchdowns in 3 weeks. So that's been pretty good.
Well, Paul Ingram taught me about the wing tee, and having learned a little football from him, I just find in high school the running game is so important. And, of course, that's not to put down teams that do have a good passing combination. That's fun to watch, too. I just have found with the extra minute added on and the number of timeouts and the incompletions, it just seems to – it really it messes with the pace of the game sometimes. And so I'm glad you mentioned what you did about your team. Coach, coming up, Ipswich.
Yeah, Ipswich is, you know, they're, you know, we talk to our guys about it all the time. They're very much like us in terms of what where their roots are as a community. And they're blue collar and tough. You know, that's what they always have been. That's what we try to be as well. And I think that's where our roots are in our community in Amesbury as well. But when you are facing that type of generational toughness, you got to be ready for a battle, you know, regardless of record, regardless of past scores. You know, it's going to be a tough game that you're going to have to scrap from first whistle to first kick to last whistle, you know. And we've also had some strange stuff happen in years down on that field. So it's going into a place where we've played nothing but tight games in my tenure here. So we're getting ready for another one. And hopefully if we execute, if we can understand our gap assignments and responsibilities defensively, we can limit their production and hopefully keep doing more of the same offensively for us, which is move the ball and finish drives.
Well, one more question, Colin. You guys came out of the gate real fast, but coaches are always looking for improvement. How do you look at what your team has improved on from preseason to where you are now?
You know, I think we've done a real good job of understanding our execution offensively, and we're starting to fake better. We're certainly starting to block better, especially from the backfield positions, block better for each other. And our offense goes by way of blocking and faking from the backfield. The line's always going to do what the line does, and they block incredibly well. Their pad level's getting better. You know, one that stands out last week was Will Arsenal blocking a kid who's humongous on Pentucket's defensive line, and he moved a kid probably 4 yards laterally down the line of scrimmage because his shoulder pad's on the kid's hip. and that's exactly how we coach it. And when guys start doing things with technique, their physicality and their you know, time in the weight room and their strength really starts to pay off even more with alongside that technique. So all that stuff has been cleaned up and is starting to get better and continues to get better each week. And then defensively, we're learning how to play together. The scheme, you know, only works if all 11 are understanding the leverage of their teammates and work together to bottle up run game. And last week, I think by our calculation, I don't know if the paper had it the same way, we had them at like 3 yards rushing as a team. I think their running back maybe had a couple more, but they went negative on a couple other plays. But they, you know, that kid Gaskin is a good running back. And I just thought our interior five plus those edge players worked together incredibly well. And that all is a product of understanding selfless defense, understanding gap responsibility, and understanding team leverage. And when we do that, we tackle, you know, we're going to be pretty good, I think.
Well, you've been so good so far. That's exciting. All right, Coach, I hope we can talk next week. And again, thank you for the time. And congratulations on the great start, Colin.
Of course. Thank you, Rick. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Be well. That's Colin McQueen, who is the Amesbury High School football coach with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.